This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case loving you.
All right, we are back at the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DAHLI, 1-877 DOCDALI. So, one of my friends was talking about holding out because the bonuses are going up to return to work. And I'm like, no, you should have gone back to work. But apparently, people are getting, I don't know, they're getting a little sluggish about going back to work. And unfortunately, companies are now turning to incentivizing people to come back to work. Apparently, Montana has created a return to work program. It's a bonus program. It actually ditches federal unemployment benefits. And they say Montana's governor is hoping to get people back to work by ditching federal pandemic-related unemployment programs and launching a, quote, return to work bonus program. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte says industries across Montana face a severe labor shortage. We must create incentives for Montanans to get back into the workforce. So the Return to Work program will utilize federal funds authorized by the American Rescue Plan Act. Return to Work bonuses will be paid to unemployed individuals who rejoin the labor force and accept and maintain steady employment for at least 1 month. Now, this is in Montana. The Return to Work Bonus Initiative will offer $1,200 payments to individuals receiving unemployment benefits as of May 4th, who subsequently accept employment and complete at least 4 paid weeks of work. That's not, I mean, I was thinking they were going to make it like 3 or 6 months. 1 month isn't that bad. The governor also announced Montana will end its participation in federal pandemic-related unemployment benefit programs and transition to pre-pandemic unemployment insurance eligibility and benefits by the end of June. Now, if you remember, with the COVID stimulus plan, they extended the additional unemployment money that you get all the way to September. And I had suggested June because that's when I thought we were going to reopen. And if we were going to start reopening and you have the benefits of the additional $300 a week going on till September, then people aren't going to come back to work in the summer. So maybe have a setup where by June it sunsets, and then if you needed to, if for some reason COVID surged, then you maybe kick it in for another 3 months. But it looks like some states are actually going to end their participation in the federal pandemic related unemployment benefit programs so they get people back to work sooner. He says Montana is open for business again, but I hear from too many employers throughout our state who can't find workers. Nearly every sector in our economy faces a labor shortage. They say Montana will be the first state in the nation to fully opt out of the federal unemployment benefit program. I heard that other states are considering it as well. And so this is a much different turn of events because we were dealing with unemployment. I mean, major unemployment. People lost their jobs. And you would think when that happened, people couldn't wait to get their job. But immediately, the Trump administration had instituted, okay, or Congress had instituted, look, you'll make more money than regular unemployment, because we know unemployment, which is what, 75%, is not going to cover all the costs. So we'll give an extra $400 a week, so people are making an extra $600 a week on top of that. I think an extra $600 a week. So they were making an extra $2,400 a month. Talk about a stimulus check. An extra $2,400 on top of unemployment. Now, what ended up being a criticism of that is those who were allowed to work didn't get the unemployment benefit. So they were essential employees. They had to work. They had to get exposed to COVID. They're looking at their unemployed co-workers or friends or whatever, and they're like, wait a second, you're lucky. But if you quit your job, you don't get unemployment. Now, some unemployment agencies didn't strictly enforce the you actively looking for work and you showing that you, you know, lost your job, you know, not by your own volition. But some of them, many of them said, no, if we think you lied, you're going to be in trouble for fraud. So we knew when that happened, it was going to be a little bit of a mess. But we figured most people are going to still want to go back to work and see their friends and their coworkers and, you know, flirt with whoever they flirt with at work, which they shouldn't be doing, but they do. And, you know, get back to their students. But the longer you were away from work, the longer it was to, the harder it was to get back into the job. And we knew this would happen. And so now we have a situation where we have people voluntarily not wanting to go back to work. We all called it. So then who's going to take the jobs? Well, maybe people that aren't getting the unemployment benefits. Maybe some of the migrants coming in from Mexico are going to say, I'll work. Let me work, pay taxes, I'll do it. And then we're going to be in a position where Americans are going to be losing out of work and not having the extra unemployment because their jobs went to somebody else. So we've been opening up. Shows are opening up. Broadway's opening up. I think Broadway... And once Broadway opens up, then shows and a lot of the, what's the term for it? Oh my gosh, I was just talking about it. The companies. So then the companies go on tour and, you know, hopefully go to like Smith Center in Nevada and, you know, other places and in other arenas. But Broadway is going to fully open their doors in September. Chicago, Wicked, The Phantom of the Opera, Diana the Musical, West Side Story. But are they going to have enough people wanting to do the, you know, the grueling work? If you get to be the star, that's great, but what about behind the scenes? 1-877-DOC-BELLY.
As a bald man, on a per follicle basis, haircuts usually aren't a great value to me. But at Supercuts, I can have an experienced stylist recommend the perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair-to-dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Because Supercuts won't just cut your hair. They'll obsess over it until you look amazing. Then finish with a hot towel refresher to top it all off. And from my personal bald perspective, that's what I call hair rich. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for longevity for over 17 years, since before it was longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have longevity.
Dr. Dolly Show, thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Jason who's working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. So you always hear the term public health crisis, what's the next public health crisis? Is it obesity? Is it vaping? Is it narcotics? Is it nurse burnout? It's National Nurses Week. Is it physician burnout? I think our next crisis is going to be people not wanting to go back to work, especially in the healthcare sector. For those people that might have gotten laid off in some of the non-hospital settings, if we don't have all our medical workers coming back in, we're going to be in trouble. But I don't want to use the term public health crisis. I just think that's so dramatic. And, you know, I don't want to compare that to Ebola or Zika like we had or the continuing pandemic as we see with COVID in India. But interestingly, we got the unemployment numbers and unemployment actually rose from 6% in March to 6.1% in April. And the Biden administration expected we would have gained about 1 million jobs as we're finishing up the spring. And instead, we've only hired about 266,000 back. Now, again, we talked about this, predictable. Some people are saying, well, yeah, well, a lot of people died of COVID. Well, yeah, but I don't think it affected the unemployment to that degree. We did have a lot of people die of COVID. As we discussed earlier, the 593,000 number might have been an underestimation. Washington University feels it's closer to 900,000. We'll readdress that in a little bit. But much of it was people lost a job. They lost a job. They went home. And now, are they going to come back? Now, keep in mind, all right, we have a few problems. One is many companies went out of business. So if they went out of business, they're not going to be able to hire people back. Okay? Number two is if some of them are still on restriction, still at 50% capacity, or 25% capacity, if it's still, you know, some of them, again, they may not be able to hire back. Remember, California is not reopening for about another month or two. New York is not going to reopen Broadway until September. So, yeah, we're reopening, but you still have a lot of companies going, well, I'll hire back when we're actually open. But the bigger, more common problem, what you just talked about in the previous segment, is you have businesses open now, and they can't get people. You know, one of my friends had a possible episode of food poisoning. And I was talking about going to dinner to this place, and he had said, you know, I just went there, but I got sick later that night. And I don't know if it was the food, you know, so I asked, I go, did they look pretty staffed? He goes, you know, come to think of it, no. Actually, we waited a long time to get our food. There really wasn't a lot of staff. So I kind of worry when you have a restaurant that doesn't have enough staff, you know, are they able to do all the protocols needed for COVID or for cleanliness? Many of them vow they will, but being understaffed and people in a hurry and them managing as many tables as possible, they might not be washing their hands as often. They might not be able to take the bathroom break, or when they do take the bathroom break, they do this quick thing when they wash their hands. So when I talk about public health crisis, and I hate using that term, it's really overdramatic. You know, we spoke about this a few weeks ago where, you know, restaurants and foodborne illness, you don't have people wanting to come back to work. It can affect us in a whole variety of ways. So the term you guys are going to be hearing now is a labor shortage. We had a toilet paper shortage with the pandemic. We had a ventilator shortage. We had a mask shortage. We had a gasoline shortage, vaccine shortage. Now we have a labor shortage, which blows my mind because people were pretty mad when they lost their jobs. And when, during the Trump administration, people got that extra money, right? It was like, look, guys, you know what? Don't be upset about you not having your job and not being an essential worker because you'll make an extra $600 a week. And as we just said, the essential workers are looking at their out-of-work friends going, really? You're making an extra $2,400 a month when we aren't? And talk about stimulus check. And so there were some people that said, you know what? Do I really have to be here? And if you quit, you lost your benefits. But if you got let go for any reason, you can make your benefits. In fact, there was when some of the states were reopening to either 25% or 50% capacity, and employers were calling people back, some of them were doing everything possible to not go back. Maybe they were fearful of COVID, but I heard some people were trying to turn into the health department, the restaurant, turn into state boards, anything possible to keep that place closed. And a lot of us were probably looking at the scenario going, okay, guys, if we're just 2 weeks to flatten the curve, two-week vacation, it's hard to get back to the swing of things, but, you know, you could do it. 2 months? 2 months out of work? It's hard to get back. Now 15 months out of work? And we spoke a little bit about this before. The psychology of getting back to work, of the concept of having to wake up at 5, 6 in the morning to shower, wash your hair, get dressed, deal with traffic, make it to work by 7:38, work a full day, not get to work out, not get to take a nap, not get to check your social media, not get to see the kids, not get to see your pets, be in an environment where you don't like your boss and you don't like your coworkers. Then you clock out, deal with traffic to come home, race to prepare dinner, then try to catch up on the stuff you want to catch up. Now, to me, I'm like, well, that's kind of what you do if you want to make a paycheck. But if you were able to receive money for not doing that, where's the incentive? Now, some restaurants are offering $200, some $500. We're here in South Florida. We're here in New York. Them offering money. Of course, it depends on how long you stay. We spoke about Montana having a back-to-work program. In fact, I think Idaho also. Idaho has a back-to-work bonus. If you go back to work, it blows my mind. We have to pay people to go back to work. I'm blown away in Idaho. You get $1,200 if you come back to full-time. You get $600 if you come back to part-time. And you have to just come back for at least 4 weeks. 4 weeks. That's crazy. It's good money. It just, I don't know what the average business can afford to spend that kind of money just for somebody to quit in a month. Well, what has to then happen, and it looks like this is what Montana is doing, is they're making sure they're in line with the unemployment office where somebody who quits won't get benefits. So I don't like a attitude of there being this discongruity between unemployment and employees. You know, you want your employees, if they leave, to get unemployment. You don't want your employee to be without food and not be able to feed their family. Just like you don't want your employees who got fired to lose their house and lose their living. But then other issues come up, like what we're seeing with landlords and people trashing the place, like what we're seeing now with, well, you incentivize unemployment so much and you make it so cush that they may not come back. You know, I've spoken to people, I go, well, you know, aren't you actually making more money going back to work for that extra $300-$400 a month that they might make coming back to work? No, they'd rather do what they're doing. You know, I've made less money this year than I have last year, and I have a choice of working more hours than I do. And I gotta tell you, I'm liking working at home. I've been offered jobs where I don't have to work at home. I'm liking it. We're being honest here. Working from home is kind of nice. I miss people. And luckily with what I do, I still get to see a lot of people. But if a workaholic like me is turning down job offers to be in person, making killer money, because I like my freedom, and I'm a workaholic, I could just imagine people that aren't workaholics going for that choice. And look, our whole attitude is different. You know, you have the government say, you know, you got to stay home. The COVID's out there. We got variants out there. You know, your kids aren't going to be safe. People, they're liking being home. They're liking the safety of that. I don't think it's healthy. So if unemployment is going up and people aren't filling the jobs, don't you think it's going to, by September 6th, when the unemployment benefits stop, going to then be a lot of people wanting to go back to work? You might want to cash in on that bonus and get back now so you secure a job. 1-877-DOC-DELLY.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
It what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Democrats and Republicans are putting a different spin on the April jobs report. The economy adding 266,000 jobs in April, far below expectations. Republican National Committee Chair Ronna McDaniel issuing a statement saying that President Biden is squandering the economic recovery he inherited from President Trump and Republicans. Meanwhile, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi putting out a statement saying the disappointing jobs report is an urgent call to action. One thing that both sides agree on is that the numbers were disappointing. As far as how many jobs economists were expecting to be added, Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst with Bankrate.com, tells USA Radio News.
We were looking for on the order of 1 million jobs being added on the month, on the heels of roughly 1 million in the previous month.
And you're listening to USA Radio News. Drug maker Pfizer says it's hopeful for full FDA approval of its coronavirus vaccine in the coming months. The vaccine is being administered in the United States under emergency use authorization at the moment. Dr. Ashish Jha, dean of the Brown University School of Public Health, tells ABC's Good Morning America this could make a big difference in the fight against the pandemic.
It's great. It's big. It's important. Here's why. Obviously, on some level, day-to-day, vaccinations will continue, and in that way, it's not a huge deal. But it's a signal that we have so much safety data now on millions and tens of millions of people that we can get the full authorization, the full approval. It'll also give confidence to a lot of people who've been on the fence, businesses that want to mandate it for workers coming back. So I do think it'll end up being a big deal.
Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is in Donna, Texas, touring a migrant processing facility. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So how many of you have your password saved onto your computer? And nobody's going to answer that. But you log onto your computer, you have a password for your bank, you have a password for your mortgage, you have a password for your social media, you have a password for your Amazon. And you get so sick and tired of the passwords that when you open up your computer, it'll be automatic. Now, you might need a password to get into your computer, but once you're in, you can breathe a sigh of relief if you don't remember your password. And then, how many of your kids access your computer? Now, mine don't. I use a laptop, and the laptop kind of goes with me wherever I go. So, you know, my kids wouldn't really access, and I don't really have my shopping on that one. But one of the computers we do have access to the shopping. And every now and then, I would see the kids go online and buy something. And I'm like, oh, you paid for that yourself, right? No. It just said click here.
Yeah, that's Mama's credit card. So now they've kind of learned that they better ask Mama,
right, before they buy something. Well, apparently a New York City boy decided to buy 51 cases of SpongeBob SquarePants popsicles. He's 4 years old, and he bought them on Amazon. Pretty smart kid to be able to navigate Amazon, to be able to type, find the SpongeBob SquarePants popsicles, and purchase them. Unfortunately, a lot of them melted, and his mom, Jennifer Bryant, now has a $2,618 bill. Because 900 popsicles were shipped to his auntie's house, or maybe that's his auntie. Amazon is not going to take the packages back because they melted. So she went to Facebook page for fellow New York University students to help. Katie Schloss, a classmate of Bryant's at NYU Silver School of Social Work, saw a proposal and wanted to help. She set up a GoFundMe account to help pay off the popsicle bill. And then asked for donations on Instagram. And the photo was adorable. It's a little four-year-old boy wearing a Mickey Mouse t-shirt or shirt and eating a SpongeBob SquarePants popsicle, which, by the way, that looks yummy. Hey, it looks like a big-size popsicle. It's SpongeBob SquarePants with googly eyes and all that. It looks really yummy, the popsicle. But apparently they couldn't sell back the popsicles because they had already melted. Because they were going to think about doing like a lemonade stand. Well, why don't we just sell the popsicles? Now, thanks to the fundraiser, the full cost of the popsicles have been paid for hundreds of strangers who loved the story. $10,000 within 4 days was collected by over 400 people, far exceeding the campaign goal. And actually, Bryant, the one that set up the GoFundMe page, said as a parent to a child living with ASD, Autism Spectrum Disorder, all additional donations will go towards Noah's education and additional supports. We cannot thank you enough, truly. So Amazon said they have also been in touch with the Bryants and will be donating the cost of the order to a local charity of the family's choosing. So, you know, this is a feel-good story, but a lot of issues kind of come up on this. Okay, you know, one is people have access to your accounts and your kids. And if your kid... I order something. I think my kids are on Spotify or gaming sites, and every now and then I see something on my credit card going, what the heck is this? And the kid's like, remember, Mom, you said I could buy it for my birthday. Your birthday was months ago. This was last week. Yeah, you never gave me a birthday present. Oh, really? I don't know. I probably did. Hey! My kids give me every story, and my credit card gets charged all the time because of stuff they do, which I am stopping. I am stopping very, very soon. But people get so frustrated with companies that won't give the money back. So with Amazon, you know, this is tricky. I think Amazon overall probably did the best they could do because it's not Amazon's fault that somebody made the order on a parent's account and it wasn't that parent. And then they couldn't take the supply back because it was food and because it melted. So, you know, a company could only eat so much profit. But it was nice that at least they made a donation to a charity. Now, somebody can say, yeah, well, they make donations anyway. So they can, but here's the thing. If a company, and I'm not saying this to play a violin for a big company that's making billions of dollars a day, such as Amazon, but there is the issue of, well, you know what? My kid dropped their food, make me a new one. My kid dropped their ice cream cone. Give us another one. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, I was a kid, I dropped my food. Thank heavens the person behind the counter was okay with that and made another ice cream cone. But at some point, it really eats up the profit. You know, so my parents would tip.
You know, I think I only once had an accident like that. And I go, can we get another one? And I'm so sorry, I'll pay for it. And they said, no, 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 you don't have to pay for it. But, you know, little food items, luckily here and there, it's not much. But if a bunch of people are dropping their food on the floor or spilling their drink, I don't know how bartenders do it. People will spill their drink or somebody would spill someone's drink, so they look to the bartender to fill it. Now, if our boss isn't looking, we might fill it, but if the boss is, and there's cameras on you, we're like, I'm sorry, if you'd have to buy another one. We can't give you free alcohol. So I think it was done, you know, as good as it can be. But what is amazing is this GoFundMe process. This GoFundMe process is huge. One of my ex-students who I taught that graduated, he had a child with cancer. And the child with cancer, they were a friend, had opened up a GoFundMe page to raise money, you know, for the chemotherapy, because the family, they had just graduated, so they aren't really, you know, he's a resident, they're not really making a lot of income, and they had twins. And the child that was fighting cancer at the time and needed chemotherapy, somebody opened up a GoFundMe page. And with GoFundMe, it used to be a percentage had to go to GoFundMe. Now what GoFundMe does is they ask everybody for a tip. So they're able to make bucks, because if you tip every time you donate, and everybody who's donating, so let's say there's like 2,000 people that donate, then 2,000 people are giving them a tip. So GoFundMe can make some real good money. It's a great business model. But what's also fantastic is the proceeds all go to that person. Now, somebody has to pay taxes on it, but the money that could be raised for a fellow human being, coworker, person in need, it's fantastic what people can do. And there are some people where all they do is they donate to GoFundMe pages. Now, you got to be careful and make sure none of them are fake. Like some of them, you know, there's some people out there, like that one woman who was faking cancer. And I said, look, what you might want to do is rather donate the money to her, donate the money directly to the hospital to pay her bill. You know, that's, I think, how somebody found out. They're like, no, let me pay the hospital bill. All right, which hospital is it? I don't have the name. That's how they figured out there was no hospital bill. So, you know, but I think it is fantastic that when people have an issue and they are in need, that somebody could do this GoFundMe page, the story goes viral, and it's a great way to donate. Now, charities might be getting hurt, as people might not be donating as much to, you know, United Way or Salvation Army or, you know, Red Cross or whatever. But it's really, really cool to see that, you know, people could come together. So I'm a fan of GoFundMe and the process that they're, you know, that it, not a fan of the tips, but I get that they need to make money too, because it costs money for them to do what they do. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, don't go away.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
Hello, I'm a bald person, which means when I walk past a conveniently located Supercuts, it's a harsh, not so convenient reminder of the hair I no longer have. And when their friendly stylist tells me I can save time by checking in online, I tell them I save plenty of time already by not having much hair to cut. So while I might not be able to take full advantage of having amazing, affordable haircuts always close by, you, those with hair, can. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with, and then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces, it's chemical free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
Dr. Dolly Show, thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Jason who's working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. So, South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster, I guess, may be signing legislation passed recently by state lawmakers that will allow execution by firing squad as an option for prisoners on death row if lethal injections are not available. Now, death by firing squad, very, very interestingly, is one of the forms of death penalty that has been kind of surprisingly one of the less painful. I don't know how I would want to go. I will never commit a crime that would involve needing
capital punishment. But apparently there's this, I guess, move to have a very old, archaic way of executing somebody still current. I forget how many states still have that. Let me see if I looked it up. I did a little piece on this. Firing squad, I think I wrote Oklahoma and Utah, I believe, might still have it. Now, that was as of March 2015. So I'm not sure if I'll have to double-check that. So they say the U.S. has been shifting away generally from capital punishment. In fact, Virginia recently became the first state to outlaw it. But the bill was approved by the State House this week and now returns to the State Senate. It is likely to become law in the next few days, according to the New York Times. They say it has been 10 years since South Carolina last executed an inmate on death row, and lawmakers argue this is because pharmaceutical companies have refused to sell states the drugs to carry out the lethal injections. The bill would also bring back the electric chair as an option if the state cannot obtain lethal injection. There are currently 37 people on South Carolina's death row, three of whom have run out of appeals. They say legal proceedings are expected to delay any immediate executions. So, you know, people believe that the firing squad is more humane than current practices. State Senator Richard Harputlian, Democrat, said the electrocution is extraordinarily gruesome, horrendous process where they essentially catch on fire and don't immediately die. Similar arguments have also been made against lethal injections, according to Axios, where some people would be paralyzed, but they still breathe. Or they still feel themselves not breathing. Usually what they do with lethal injections is they give a combination. One to kind of put you to sleep, another to paralyze the muscles, and then another one to stop the heart. And if any of them are given in the wrong dosing, somebody might be able to feel it or still stay alive. Now, in 2018, four prisoners in Tennessee asked a federal judge to allow them to choose a firing squad because a firing squad significantly reduces a substantial risk of unnecessary and severe pain. Now, I believe 24 states have a death penalty law in place. Fewer than 50 death sentences have been imposed each year for the past 6 years. So we've definitely slowed down on those receiving capital punishment. One of the most common ways that was in the past used to execute was hanging. Hanging, unfortunately, was barbaric because many don't die quickly. They asphyxiate, they lose blood flow from their carotid arteries. Sometimes they'll get a cervical fracture. As of 2015, I need to double check who still has it, three states who still had hanging as an option. At the time, so this was a few years back, Delaware, New Hampshire, and Washington. I have to double check if they still have that. But some get something called a hangman's fracture, where you have a hyperextension injury to the neck. The pars interarticularis on the pedicle of the C2 vertebrae becomes fractured. The distance of the drop then is crucial. If the drop is too long, you could behead somebody. If a drop is too short, it could cause strangulation. And so they hung the Lincoln assassination conspirators. There's actually a picture of it. And it drew a huge, large crowd. People definitely wanted to see that. Now, the electrocution, because some inmates would not die for 30 minutes, New York was apparently looking for a more humane way of executing. A dentist by the name of Dr. Southwick had, this was, I think, gosh, back in the 1800s? I need to double-check the date on that. But a dentist saw an old drunk man accidentally electrocute himself by touching an electric generator. And he said it appeared painless. So in 1889, New York had passed a law called the Electrical Execution Law. Edwin Davis, the Auburn prison electrician, was commissioned to design an electric chair. Per History.com, they said on August 6, 1890, William Kemmler became the first person to be sent to the chair. After he was strapped in, a charge of approximately 700 volts was delivered for only 17 seconds before the current failed. The problem is the current failed. He didn't die. Witnesses smell burnt skin, charring flesh, just like that movie Green Mile. And the second shock was then prepared. It was 1,030 volts, applied for 2 minutes. Then, once they saw smoke coming from his head, they said he was clearly deceased. But they said the electrode that attached to his back had burned through the spine. So, obviously, a very, very painful death. So, they have to shave them down. They have them wear protection now to avoid soiling themselves. They use 2 jolts. To cause the inmate to become brain dead and to stop the heart. Apparently, some states that still have this is Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Kentucky, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. Again, this is as of 2015, so I need to find a more recent source on that. Now, lethal injection. Lethal injection is a little bit more new. Charles Brooks was the first person killed by lethal injection on December 2nd, 1982, after a court ruled that the death by lethal gas was considered cruel and unusual punishment. Apparently, we'll talk about lethal gas in a second. But for a lethal injection, they put saline in an IV solution, then they inject sodium thiopental to sedate the inmate, then they use pancuronium bromide to paralyze the muscular system to stop breathing, and then they'll use a potassium chloride to stop the heart. So, basically, there's respiratory and cardiac arrest. So, the gas chamber. In 1924, they tried to execute Zijian by using cyanide gas, having it pumped into his room at night when he slept. It didn't work, and it actually leaked out of the cell. So, they had to, in the 20s, build an airtight chamber, forced him to breathe in the gas of sodium cyanide sulfuric acid. Arizona, California, Missouri, and Wyoming, as of 2015, still use gas chambers as a backup. Since 1976 through 2015, only 11 people had been executed by those means. Inmate is strapped to a chair. There's a pail near the bottom of the chair that has sulfuric acid. Once the door is closed, a lever gets hit that drops sodium cyanide into the pail. Hydrogen cyanide is born, creates a toxic gas, causes the prisoner to stop breathing and die. Unfortunately, some people don't die right away. They have anxiety and pain. And so you actually see a little chamber where the executioner physician could listen to the prisoner's heart outside the machine by a long stethoscope. And then once confirmed dead, the noxious gases would be sucked out by an exhaust fan, body doused in ammonia to neutralize the gas, and then come out. So the firing squad is probably one of the reasons why people are saying, can we go back to that? 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, don't go away.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.